Thank you, Brother Waterhouse. Your Bibles tonight, as you turn to Matthew chapter 4, I've had such a wonderful week. One of my appointments this week, I was meeting with Brother Reuben and Nadine Alvarez, and they've been members here for years, been helping in another church, and so they don't need to reunite with our church, but they're back, and I'm very excited about that. I thank you. I always want to be your pastor, and to be your pastor be a thrill, and I have been these years. Then I want you to pray tonight also for Virginia Martinez, one of our ladies. And Virginia's a bus captain with her sister, Christina, on the bus. She's been on the bus about 30 years, and getting ready for the bus meeting yesterday morning, she had a heart attack, and then another one in the ambulance, and she went through surgery yesterday. Basically, it was surgery to stabilize her, and there'll be more surgery in a couple weeks, I guess, when she gets stronger. But the first thing after the immediate surgery, she woke up, and this is an amazing thing. Her first question is, did we win the bus contest? And I'm glad that she's burdened. She worked so hard for Easter Sunday. Their route had 125, if I'm not mistaken, 129. So you pray for Virginia, and then, of course, all those folks in our church that are so ill and sick and afflicted, you have the prayer page. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, I truly feel like I need to preach tonight because this truth has helped me personally so very much. And I pray that tonight it help the people that I love so much, and that God, as we look at the scripture for these few brief moments, you'd speak directly to us in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the joys about living life in for many years, I have lived many years, and I hope by God's grace I have many more. But having spent a lifetime through my childhood and teens and young adult, now all these years here, I've learned, as Laban said, by experience, I've learned some things that it would probably be natural for you, but I had to learn some things by experience. I'm going to tell you briefly by introduction. I've discovered this about our Lord. He's always there. He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have been at times traveling up and down these freeways, up and down these highways to go to meetings. There have been some moments where I feel like I said, Lord, are you listening to me? Are you there? I sing, does Jesus care? God, are you listening? And it seems like that sweet, sweet voice of the Lord always says, I'm here, son. A song that I began to sing several years ago, He's All I Need, when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear each prayer I call. He's my all my needs. He supplies my thirsty soul. He satisfies. He's everything. He's Lord of all. He's all I need. He's my comfort when I'm weary. He eases my pain. He fills my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration. He's my heart's consolation. He's everything. He's all that I need. And then I would sing, if I'd love to sing it with you tonight, that little chorus we sing sometimes on a Sunday morning, He is all I need. I can recall singing that as a boy. He is all I need. All I need. I can tell you, you can take it to the bank. I've discovered He's always there. He's always there. I've discovered He always gives grace. He always will give you grace. Perhaps you face some things far deeper and harder and more difficult than I've faced. But I know some of the things I've faced. Some things I've faced that you don't know about. But I could tell you there. I could tell you that He's always giving grace. Paul said, my grace is sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Many young couples here tonight, I can tell you, you can take it to the bank. His grace is always sufficient. And he'll give you new grace. We sing it in our song book. Thank God for that new grace. Grace yet undiscovered. Grace not yet uncovered. Grace for his bountiful store. You can count on it that God is always there. You can count on it. His grace, he'll always give you grace. I can't imagine the hurt when your mate walks out. But God can give grace. And I'll let you sing again. I'd like to say three. I've discovered this. I know this is true. I've discovered in life that God's people are the best. Someone tells me, well, you know how church members are. I hope you're saying that positive, because I know how church members are. They have fed us, my wife and I, all of our marriage. They've cared for us. They've prayed for us. How would you like to be a pastor? And perhaps some families, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, pray for their pastor and his wife. I'm so humbled when little kids come by and sometimes say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Someone at the door say, Pastor, and I'm not depressed, but Pastor, I'm praying for you. Oh, that means so much. You can tell every church must have grumps, I know. And I tell you, God's people, they're the best. Don't you attack God's people to me. I can go back. Brother Reamer said, teachers meeting tonight, you have a Sunday school teacher? Oh, yes. 62 years ago, my Sunday school teacher. She was so special. As we'd pull the door up of the pastor's garage on Scammon Court, and I'd walk into my little Sunday school room on that garage, and Mrs. Daniels was there. I'm so very grateful that she loved God. I wonder whatever happened to her. I imagine by now she's gone to heaven. But thank God that she had an impact on my life. I thank God for my Sunday school teachers. Oh, I thank God for my pastor. I had his funeral some years ago, his wife's funeral. And then he passed away shortly thereafter. What a good pastor. What a good pastor's wife. What a good church they gave me. What a good youth group they gave me. They dedicated their lives to us teenagers. They taught us how to read the Bible as teenagers. Our pastor's wife had about 100 teenagers in our youth group, and she'd collect every Sunday morning our Bible reading for daily schedule, how we sought the Bible, how we searched the Bible, and she'd assign, and we'd look for things in those passages. And then on Sunday, the teenagers, we'd go to work in two rest homes. She'd go home, and she would look at all of our Bible, devotional Bible time, and bring them back at 4:30 for teen choir. Oh, I thank God for my pastor's wife. She had such an influence on my life. I want to tell you tonight, I've discovered that God's always there. I've discovered his grace. Brother Dan Joe, you know what I'm talking about. Brother John, you know what I'm talking about. You that have buried your loved ones, you know what I'm talking about. His grace is so real. Sometimes his presence is so real. I feel like I could just almost touch him. Sometimes it seems like he's far off, but God's never far away. I found that God's people are the best. Oh, I'm so grateful that Jim Tucker and Donna Tucker, they're both home with the Lord. I'm glad as a single boy they took me into their lives and loved me, just country folk. And I'm so thankful they'd feed me at night from their little farm. I'm so thankful they just showed me how they loved their pastor who had led them to Christ. Jim and Donna Tucker on the other side. God's people are the best. They're the best. I have 33 deacons, another 15 in training. I've never had a deacon's problem. I thank God for deacons. I want to say this. I know, number four, that the Holy Spirit is real. That Holy Spirit, He walks with me. He's with me everywhere I go. When I do wrong, He says, Jack, don't do that. That grieves me. When I react this way, He'll say, don't do that. That's not what I want from you. He'll comfort me. He'll guide me. He'll teach me. John tells me all those things that he does. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. I can tell you number five, that God honors faith. I know that. I did not know it as much as I do now when I came here 42 years ago. I can tell you that if it's not a faith, it's sin. I know that's true. God always honors faith. He always does. Hebrews 11:6. I'll tell you number six. I have discovered in my own life that God's word is alive. And tonight as I talk about these things, I know God's so real. But can I tell you on the flip side? I have discovered that life is hard. Life is not easy. Sometimes life doesn't seem fair. I know that there are sad moments and hard moments and betrayal moments in life. And the more people you get to know, the more you experience betrayal. And there are lonely moments and there are failure moments. But I'm so grateful to tell you tonight that Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. You can count on Him all the time. And He gives us an illustration here in this text that we look at tonight. It's an illustration of how He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He was the one that faced betrayal. He was the one in life and in the garden and on the cross that was all alone. He was the one that had His own Father turn His back on Him. He was the one who died for our sin. And He is going to demonstrate us as He begins His ministry that life is hard. But friend, when life gets hard, you don't quit. What are you thinking? I always prayed that I'd get old and have gray hair one day. Well, I've got a few strands, and all that it is gray. But I still want to be faithful to God. I want to preach as long as He'll let me. I want to read my Bible every day. I want to pray every day. I want to try to be good on the pathway of life. But I understand that life is not easy. And here is our Lord, and before His public ministry begins, I like the way Mark takes us how He was alone and he was driven to the wilderness. God may be driving you to a wilderness experience right now, but it's always for a purpose. And I want you to see how our Lord was tempted, and yet He overcame the temptation tonight. Notice what the Bible says. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. May I ask you again, where is the Spirit of God leading you? What's God doing? He leads all of us. Is He leading us to a neighbor? Is He leading us to a street to knock doors? Is He leading us to tell someone, I was wrong, I am so sorry? Is He leading us to get rid of the liquor in the refrigerator back home? Is He leading us to admit we're on drugs? We're hooked on pornography? Is he leading us to say to your wife, would you please forgive me, I was wrong? To your husband, I've not treated you with respect. I've really been a bossy woman. To your parents, mother, dad, the Spirit of God has been speaking of a heart, and I know that I need to get right with my mom and dad. I can't imagine pillowing your head not right with your parent and Perhaps some of you have tried to get things right and your mother and dad won't let you. Well, then the ball's in their court. I know that. But may I say tonight, here our Lord is going to overcome these temptations. Verse 2, the Bible says that when he had, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. Well, when you get hungry, there could be temptation. And I want you to notice, as he's now hungry, the devil uses his palate. And he said, I want to affect your life. And he says, you're hungry. When you're going through a physical pain or suffering, are you going through some emotional turmoil? Be careful, because you're going to make a wrong decision if you're not careful. And Jesus was hungry, and the devil comes and he tempts him. And the tempter came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I ask you a question. Could have you commanded those stones to be made bread? The answer is yes. God can do anything. He can calm a sea. He can open up a Red Sea. He can raise the dead. He can heal the lame. He can heal the blind. He can heal the deaf. God can do anything. God could have turned these. He's God. Jesus is God. He could have turned this bread, these stones into bread. But I want you to notice how he fought the devil. He answered and said, three words. Would you read them in verse number 4? Ready, begin. It. Remember last week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we were in John 19. And remember when he was dying for our sin, and he was looking from the cross. We looked last Easter, not to the cross, but from the cross. And we saw his mother, and we saw John, and we saw the enemies, and they saw the soldiers. He saw everybody, and he talked to them. And the Bible says every time in John 19, it is written. But here he's getting battled in the beginning of his ministry, not the end. As Satan comes, he says, I want to affect your palate, your taste, the things that I think you're really wanting in your life. And Jesus said, it is written. You face Satan's temptation this week. We're going to have to fight him with the word of God. Once again, I face Satan this morning. And I battled him all the day long. I can guarantee it. Here's what I try to do. When Satan is battling me, sometimes I fail. I wish I could tell you I always had success. But here's what I've learned. I need to begin to read the Bible. And I try to read it out loud as I can. Just read the Bible. You might be like I am at times, and Satan tempts you, and he tries to, and there's no way to pull over. You know what I do when Satan tempts me to do wrong? When I'm alone in my car, when Satan tries to get me to see it's hopeless or whatever, I try to begin to quote the scripture. You say, well, Pastor, you have an advantage. You've been preaching this book all these years. Oh, you all know the Bible. You may know only this much of it. But you might start in Genesis 1:1. Just begin with the first part. What does it say? In the beginning, God. Say it one more time. In the beginning, God. That's enough. You can go on if you know it, but you can say, I want to just quote some scripture. In the beginning, God. Do we know anything in Exodus? How about Exodus chapter 20? There's the Ten Commandments. Do we know any? You say, well, how does it relate to my problem I'm facing? I don't know. Just quote the scripture. He quotes scripture. And so you might want to quote scripture. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not have any graven images before thee. Thou shalt not bow down to them. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, you might know those. You say, I know only 4 of the Ten Commandments. Well, then quote them. You might know something in Leviticus, like Leviticus 19:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. You might know something from the book of Numbers, how that thou wilt keep in perfect peace his mind is stayed on thee. You might know something in Deuteronomy. You might know something in Joshua. Joshua said, 24, ask for me and my, we will. Now, if you know that, quote it. Do you know Psalm 23? Say, well, I don't. I'm a new Christian. Well, do you know the first verse? Well, I don't. Well, you know the first phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. Genesis 1:1, you're my God. In Psalm 23, you're my shepherd. You know many Psalms if you go through the Psalms. You might know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. That's all you might know. Well, quote it. You might know something from all these books of the Bible. How about Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How about Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait. Some of these are songs in our hymn book, you know. How about, you say, I'm a new Christian. I know there's a John 3, 16. They showed that to me when I got saved. Well, then try to quote it. You say, all I know is, for God so loved the world. Well, then quote that. For God, it's the scripture where there's power. There's power over the temptation from the word of God. I've never told you this illustration. I'd driven to a meeting in the middle of our state down I-5. And I'll tell you, when I was coming back that night on a two-lane road, there was trucker after trucker after trucker. Most of them were pulling out cotton from those fields. And I got myself, I preached that night. I feel like I had the touch of God. And I started driving. It was a slippery, muddy night. I'll never forget it. Mud on that highway from those trucks coming out of those fields. And it seems like the devil just sat in the seat right next to me. And he began to condemn my heart. I've been here 42 years. I never told you this. And it just seemed like he was so real. I said, devil, I'd like you to get out of here. Now, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world, I know. But it just seemed like he was attacking me. The devil will attack us. He'll attack us where we're weak. He'll attack us where we're strong. And the devil began to tell me, you're not really valued to anyone anyway. And I began to feel like he was right. I probably began to have a pity party or whatever it was. But I was in a state. And I know you're not going to probably believe this was taking place. But it seemed like as those truckers were headed toward me, it seemed like the old devil was saying, pull in front of one of those. I tell you what gave me victory that night. When I felt like maybe I'm nothing anyway. I tell you what gave me victory, the word of God. I hope you never have an experience like that. I can't say there's been another one like that to that degree. It was just so powerful. I know the road I was on, a little too late road. And the oppression. I was not possessed by the devil. A Christian cannot be possessed. But I was oppressed that night. I was just oppressed that night. And I'm going to tell you, the word of God will give us victory. I want you to see in verse number 4, not only do we claim the word of God for victory, but we resist the devil. The Bible says in verse 5, then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Now the devil's quoting the Bible, for it is written, and he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You know what he used this verse? His palate. He used his palate, his taste buds. Now he uses pride. And I know our Lord did not have any pride. But the devil brought and said, look, you've got angels. You can call one of your angels and you can cast yourself down. Pride's a wicked thing. And perhaps tonight, pride is entered in your life and you're governing your life by your proud spirit. Resist the devil, James 4:7, and he will flee. You have to resist him. Ephesians, Paul says, really, don't give him any ground, neither give place to the devil. Don't surrender any ground. That's why I try to fight around here. I want the right music, and I want the right standards and holiness and conviction. I want there to be preaching. I want men to dress like men and ladies to dress like ladies. Why? Because I can't allow this world from out there to come and affect this in here. I'm going to answer to God for this one day. So he used his palate and he used his pride. He used what would seem like pride, but our Lord had no pride. And then he used position. Jesus said, verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, wait a minute. I thought God created this planet. God is the owner. Oh, yes. But remember, God gave it to Adam. And God gave it to Adam. And when God gave it to Adam, Adam surrendered it and he gave it to the devil. And that's why the Bible says the whole world lieth, 1 John, in the hand of the wicked one. Don't blame this mess on God. Elvis Presley made the song famous, but it's not really theologically correct. He's got the whole world in his hand. Oh, God can do what he wants, but he has allowed man in this day to do what man wants. Man is outlawing God, and man is ridiculing God, and man mocks God. But all I'm going to tell you, friend, one day he's coming back, and they're going to open Revelation chapter 5, and who has the title deed to this planet Earth, and they're going to find that thou art worthy to receive honor and glory and power and majesty. He's going to say, I own this planet. He resisted. And I find that Jesus looked past the temptation. I don't need that position. You're in control right now, Mr. Satan, as far as the world's following your direction. But one day I'm going to come back to claim it as my own. And tonight we find that he looked past the temptation. When the tempter tempts you this week, go to the scriptures. And put your fighting gear on, Ephesians chapter 6, and stand against the wiles of the devil. And then look past the temptation. Look past the temptation. And we close in verse 11. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Angels, Hebrews 1:14, are ministering spirits. Angels minister to us. We as Baptist preachers, and any kind of preacher for that matter, we have wronged the study of angels because we don't say much about angels. But God gives us angels. And I've been in those rooms when people have passed away. And I'll tell you what, guardian angels come. I've never seen an angel. No man has seen an angel. But I've been in the presence of people, the saints of God that are passing away. And I have many times thought, I wish I could see with heavenly vision right now, because I know there's angels around ministering right now. I recall when my wife's mother died. Her mother was 45, a preacher's wife, left 8 kids. I'd prayed for so much for that lady. I really never knew her, but I knew about her. The very closest I got was in the church house singing one night, and she was in the parsonage probably 10 feet away. I wish I could have just gone to talk to her one time. I was in college, a junior. I got so burdened for that pastor's wife. I'd gathered the men in my dorm together. I said, fellas, I don't know this lady. I've been in the church. That man's got 8 kids, and his wife's dying. I can recall praying for that lady that, had she lived, would have been my mother-in-law. I recall that a little bit later in my ministry, I was struggling with the homegoing of a member of our church. And I said, I don't know what to say. I turned to my wife, I said, honey, tell me, I've never experienced the death of an immediate family member. My mother and my dad at that time were alive. My sisters were both alive, of course. I said, I've never gone through what you have gone through. I cannot imagine having a funeral for your mother at your young age, really, your little family. I said, how'd you do that? How in the world did she die on this night? And by the funeral, you wrote a long, lengthy poem that was in the bulletin about your mom with no idea ahead of time. How'd you do that? How'd you face that experience with your younger siblings around you, knowing that you'd be there now to care for them? I'll never forget what she said. She said, Jack, you know, God will always give new grace. Before that song was ever even written that we sing now. She says, God gives a grace you have not experienced before. I'm not suggesting that she did not cry. I'm not suggesting she does not have sorrow. We go back to her home and see her family from time to time, and we always stop at the cemetery. And we go there, and we see her mother's marker right there. And it breaks my heart to think that her mother was so young and left a large family behind in a church. Can I tell you something, friend? God will send angels. God will send the scriptures. God will send the Holy Spirit. And God will send people into your life like angels, God's people. I'm not an angel, neither are you. But I think we ought to act like angels. I heard a man talking to a college boy tonight. As he spoke to this college boy, and he knows him well, the college young man said, I'm graduating in a few weeks, and I'm going to go help my dad in the city where he's pastor. That church member spoke so, he didn't even know I was there. He spoke so. I thought, now, there's an angel. He's not an angel like we would consider from the Bible. But why don't we act like angels this week? Why don't we do good to people this week? Our Father, I don't know if I got this across tonight, but I know that you spoke to my heart about it so powerfully.